Right. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Nice to be with you. Making the transitions between everything is a bit tight, isn't it? But it's good to see you. My presentation, in case you have got the wrong one, because it was printed wrong in one of the schedules, is feeding the core, not entertaining the fringe.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. And what I'm going to be presenting is quite simple. Is that we know that we're losing far too many of our own young people. And the church has prioritised discipleship as a key factor in reversing the decline. That's why we're here, in the nurture and retention. But often we see that as a one-size-fits-all. I'm going to try and break that down a little, because I believe that we should start where we have the most influence. And where we have the most influence are what I will call the core of our young people. What's come up here? Get that out of the way. Thank you. Go away. Doesn't want to go away. This file does not have a program associated. Go away. Oh dear. I may just have to try and get that sorted. That's it. There we go. Okay. All right. When we did the Value Genesis survey back in Europe in the 2000s, between 2005 and 2007, in one of the presentations that were given to the group meeting at De Bron in Holland was by Manuela Casti and Stephen Curro. They were from Newbold College at that time. And their response was to the findings that we were coming up with. We need to feed the core, not to default to entertaining the fringe. There is a, you can almost fall into a pattern of thinking, well, we've got to try and keep everybody. And in so, because we want to try and keep everyone, which we do, we will seek to the extremities first, and we will entertain the group there. What I'm trying to say is, I think we should start with those that we have who I'm calling the core, all right? And young people wish to be challenged. Could I ask Linda, would you open the case just behind you? Could I put up a diagram on there? Now, I don't know if some of you are aware with Rick Warren's work. It's probably The Purpose-Driven Church, if any of you read that. And they would work with, and he was working in a different way, but he was working with the crowd, and you work outside in. So you work and contact the people out in the crowd, you bring them into the congregation, and they become the core. And there was a reason for what he was doing. What I am trying to say to you is, I believe we should work inside out. Mm. We work with our core young people, and we work out, all right, and hope and get the passion and the response from the core young people to influence those outside. Because if you start with the crowd, you will get very few and it will be just watered down. But if you start with the core, they will be the ones that will spread and they will bring others inside. So that's what I'm actually trying to share with the group this morning. I've been doing quite a bit of study, not only for myself, but because I was asked to present here. A book I would recommend to you, it's not an Adventist book, it comes from Fuller. It's called Growing Young. It's about a 2015-2016 book. These are the three men who have authored it, Powell, Mulder and Griffin. Growing Young by Baker Books. Get hold of that book. It's very, very, very good. It's research that Fuller have done just recently. And amongst that book, three of the questions they look at, young people go through what Brian was talking about, the identity crisis. Who am I? That's an identity crisis. I guess we went through it too. Everybody goes through it. Then you ask the question, where do I fit in? That's a question of belonging. And do we fit to our church? And then what difference do I make? And all those sort of coalesce together around the church. This is a question of mission. Can my church help me to make a difference? And what I'm going to share is that young people want to belong to a church that wants them to do something. They do not want to belong to a church that just waters down what we're trying to say to try and just keep people. They want to be challenged, and the word challenge is going to come back as a key word. In this book again, Growing Young, they synthesise something that I'm going to show you that we knew from the very beginning. But they put forward a number of myths. One of them was that a myth is that young people need a watered-down teaching style. To try and keep them, we need to keep things less radical, keep them less challenging. That's not what young people are saying. It's also a myth that we need to adopt an entertaining ministry program. All right, and just entertain. We will never compete with the outside world. We can't. If we go that way, we will lose every time. Church has a purpose, and church should fulfill that purpose. Now, some years back, I worked with a man that Sam will probably remember. Do you remember Barry Gain when he was in the UK? Your wife will certainly remember Barry. All right, Barry was a youth minister. He was a British Union youth director. He went over to Australia, became the division youth director in Australia. He did some work on young people attending church and realised way back that people were leaving. He was at a conference, and at that conference there was a Baptist leader called Wesley Black. And Barry shared, "We're losing our young people." And this man looked at him and felt sorry for him and said, "We don't have that problem." And Barry responded to him, "I think you will find you do if you go and check." Now, he was an honest man. He went away and came back, and he later met Barry again and said, "You know what? You were right. Not only do we have a problem, we have a huge problem. And we're losing our young people in their teenage years as they come up to leave for university, leave home. Because when they leave home, they leave their family, they leave their friends, and they leave their church. That's a huge disconnect. And if they have not assimilated their faith, and you can do faith development studies, if they have not personalised their faith and constructed their faith by that time, they're vulnerable. Now, he went away, this man Wesley Back, and he put together two diagrams. I'm just showing you one, reasons young adults attend church, and there's another one, reasons young adults do not attend. But if you have a look, you've got active young people and non-active young people. Both start with their parents' influence. That's what's going to happen. It's mum and dad who bring children to church. And that's a wonderful thing. We need strong, committed Adventist families. But if you have a look, this track, these young people who are active and who attend church, they found a meaningful church experience. It's given them a deep personal faith. And they have formed relationships in the church. Those that were non-active, he put it this way, they still had the parents' influence, but they only came from habit because of they were taken by mum and dad. And they missed out on this section. And yes, they made some friendships. But it's this section here that makes the difference. Within church, we need to help our young people, who I'm telling you are the core young people, to have a meaningful church experience that will develop a deep personal faith, to form relationships that will keep them strong when they come through the trying times. Now, if we look back, our church already knew this before they wrote Growing Young and other books that you will find today. This is a synthesis of the work that Ellen White wrote, and it was compiled by Malcolm Allen when he's a former GC, Pathfinder director, and he wrote a book, Divine Guidance or Worldly Pressure. And he looked back to the guidance Ellen White had given the church, and over a number of years she kept saying, we must take the work for our youth far more seriously. To begin with, there was no youth work in the church. Then it came under Sabbath School, you'll probably remember that. And eventually they formed, about 1905, they formed the youth department. And she kept sending messages, the salvation of our youth must be a priority. Companies should be organised of young people who truly love the Lord. Now, companies is an old term, particularly in Europe, we don't use that term anymore. You may in other parts of the world, but it's a transferable principle. Groups should be organised of young people who truly love the Lord. The purpose of these groups is to organise young people for service, and these groups should provide training and opportunities for service. There you have two words that became a touchstone of youth ministry in Mafune when we were involved.
Yes.
Salvation and
service.
Service. All right. Now, she also sent back some responses. She looked back to another organisation that were working at the time called the Christian Endeavour Society. And there's a quotation you'll find. It's E.G. White letter, October the 2nd, 1893. "Let there be a company formed somewhat after the order of the Christian Endeavour Society, and see what can be done by each accountable human agent in watching for improving opportunities to work with the Master." The Christian Endeavour Society was formed in the 1880s by a man called Francis Clark. I think he was a Presbyterian. And he formed this group, and there it says they revolutionised youth ministries by encouraging youth to put their faith into action. That's why Ellen White wrote and said, can't we have something along the order of that, where young people are putting their faith into action? What that actually means is young people want to do something. Where I work now in Scotland, Barna have just done a survey on the church in Scotland. It's actually a little depressing because the Church of Scotland particularly, the numbers are declining very rapidly. The institutional church is struggling. Churches are closing. I've got ministers in my area where I am, Church of Scotland, who are only on about 70% salary because they've had to cut to actually keep them working. But they found a spike they did not expect to find. They found a spike, and this is a 2015 study, amongst millennials. Millennials, we know, are people, young people born around the time of the millennium, 2000. So they're young adults now, 18 or around that age. And these young people were saying, well, actually, we want three things. Meaningful and authentic relationships. Remember that picture where you had relationships. We want to have a deep understanding of the faith, and we want to have opportunities to serve others. So that is extremely current, but it goes back to what was being said. It's almost back to the future. All right, within the church, I believe we do things and we have done things extremely well. We just had in March Global Youth Day. Now that grew and developed in the last few years. Gilbert Kanji, I think, was the one who started it, youth director. Gary and the team have taken it on. And Global Youth Day has become a global phenomenon around the church. But my statement is, and we know this fully well, it needs to be more than just a day. It needs to be a lifestyle. It needs to be something that young people can continue to actually do. Going back to that study that Fuller did, one of the three gentlemen who wrote the book Growing Young, I found an article he wrote in another pamphlet, What Do Young People Really Want in Church? And it was called Debunking Myths About What Attracts the Next Generation. And this word kept coming out, challenge. Young people appreciating challenging teaching in their churches, even when it makes them feel uncomfortable, and invites them to make changes based on scriptural principles. And Fuller conducted nearly 1,500 hour-long interviews, and they analysed over 10,000 pages of research data. Fuller actually doing some good work. Okay, and this kept coming back, challenge. Young people want to be challenged. Not only do they want to be challenged, they want to belong to a church that inspires them to act. This is a quote from Growing Young. Contrary to popular thinking that young people today want it easy, many told us they love their church because their church inspires them to act. In short, teenagers and emerging adults in churches aren't running from a gospel that requires hard things of them. They're running towards it. Isn't that an interesting statement? And that's why I believe we need to work with our core young people and help them as they help with others. I think this is Jesus' model because he worked with the disciples. And then they had the outer ring, which was the apostles and the other followers of Jesus. And then they reached out. So I believe we need to raise the bar. This is taken from the General Conference's booklet leading up to the 2220, to the next session, next year. And for the youth department, 2019 is the year of the local church. And they have set the statement or the theme, give them the keys, okay? In other words, give them the keys to the car, help them to drive. Galina, is Galina here? You did a presentation in Montenegro to the Trans-European Division 2017. I was there at the part. And these are some of the statements you have made that what young people would appreciate from the studies that you had done. Okay.
North American Division.
Sorry?
They did in North American
In the North American Division. Thank you. And I just took these. 89% wanted more engagement on Friday evening or Sabbath. 83% allow young adults to take more church leadership. You can read it. 81% more days when youth lead out in Sabbath worship. 71% allow young adults to establish and run their own ministries. You also showed this pie chart. And this was the one that challenged me. Because although they want to do all that, when they were, you or the study asked them the question, 72% said actually they had no youth leadership, they had no leadership opportunity, volunteer leadership in the church. So we know the theory, but somehow we're not putting it into practice. Still in our churches, it is people with a lack of hair and glasses and even now hearing aids that are leading the church. But we've somehow got to give them the keys. We've got to challenge them and say, we believe in you in doing this. Now, I've only got just a little while left. I'm going to share just in the last 5 minutes or so something that is being done in Scotland. And we've got a new minister come into the field. He's come in from America, from Texas. His name's Gabriel Perea. And he has started working with discipleship and life groups. And he's doing a very good job. He puts out advertising. Discipleship groups, bring your phones, grab a snack, build a community, find truth in Jesus. A gathering of people who want to know Jesus better through study of the Bible. And he has got in a district in Edinburgh, and we've got three churches. The main church, a church plant, and there's a smaller group in Dunfermline, which is a church on its own. And he has now got over 70 people signed up to these discipleship and life groups. In our context, as Sam will realise,
wow,
that is good. All right. It may sound little in some, but that is good. 22 of them are non-Adventists. In fact, he said actually it's 21, Paul, because we baptised one last week.
That's amazing.
Isn't it? Absolutely amazing. Now, what he is doing, he is using these groups as access points, and that gives you the flow chart, discipleship group or life group. And yet people join these discipleship groups three times a year, spring, summer, and he will call it fall, but we know it's autumn. Sorry. And they will have the groups. They run for a certain number of weeks. They have about 12 to 14 people per group. When they finished one group, if you've been attending, you can become an assistant in the next group, and then if you've done two groups, you can become a leader to follow that. And he's getting some very good success with what they're doing. They have different values. Obviously, it's a spiritual, but also a social activity. Discipleship is seen as a journey, not just to baptize people. It's seen as a growing relationship with Jesus. Now, here is how they organize it. Organised into the seasons, one home for every 12 to 14 people, 12 to 15 weeks in length, at 1.5 hours in duration. He announces it in advance for 4 to 6 weeks, and then they prepare and always have some snacks, but not a meal, they have snacks. He tells them to bring with them a Bible, a notebook. He actually asks them to bring with them a Bible, because most will come with your phone or your laptop, but he actually says, bring a physical Bible. It's easier to mark. No, you can mark, of course, but
This is better.
Yeah, it is. A notebook, a journal, a writing instrument, and a study guide material. And he gives them a study guide material when they come. And here's the emphasis. It's beginning and instilling and deepening and strengthening a walk with Jesus. Emphasis is on discipleship, not on baptism or conversions, although he says that does naturally follow in actual fact. Emphasis should be on spiritual renewal and transformation. And emphasis should be on how the 28 fundamental beliefs deepen our understanding of the character of Jesus. Now, my time is going to go, and I don't want to take Linda's time, so I'm going to stop in just a moment. But he has a nurture of current members in mind, but also they reclaim ex-members because they bring them into these groups with their friends. And so I wanted to ask Brian this question from the last meeting. But as he connects with people, sometimes you need a halfway house. They're not going to walk straight back into our church door. But a halfway house could be a house meeting, a group meeting, where they can feel they can come and they can be assimilated into a caring smaller group. So this is just one example of what I believe in now. My understanding of youth ministry over the years has deepened. I'm sure there was a time when I was out there entertaining the crowd. I'm sure of it. In fact, I was building those relationships that Brian was talking about. So it was not wasted. I built strong relationships. I started as a young youth minister of a local church. But now I believe we've got to challenge our young people, give them a church that asks them to do something, and we strengthen the core and we help them to move outwards. And that's what I believe has always been the way. And by doing so, we can help unleash potential passion and participation of our young people, your young people, those young people that we love. That, in short, is what I'm trying to say. Don't water something down. Challenge them. Help them have participation and ownership and give them something that they can get their teeth into, both scripturally and also in service. Thank you very much.